Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Unicron Issue 3. The Brit Formers comic now has a Kickstarter, and more Transformers Cyberverse episodes are available. Today is Friday, September 21st, 2018, and this is episode 95 of Transmissions Alt Mode. Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the show where a character's death is always meaningful, heartfelt, and never a surprise. Oh, God, no! I'm your host, Yoshi, this week, and I am joined by the excellent Transmissions team. We have Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, what's going on? Let's talk Transformers.
Let's talk donations, Daryl. You're absolutely right. I am completely flabbergasted that since Charles has not been on the show, we have not had one new donator. I don't know how to beg anymore. So, Jeremy, what kind of offers can we give them to get them to start signing up?
Well, Yoshi, how about a special offer? Limited time. If you donate at the $10 level before September 30th, you will get an exclusive limited set of collector's pins. You will get the Daryl, you will get the Yoshi, you will get the Charles, you will get the Jeremy, and the exclusive, rarely seen Editor Mike.
Did you say collector plates?
No, I said pins.
Oh.
Collector plates are at the Beauvais level. That's a whole nother thing.
I definitely kind of want collector plates now. It'd be awesome.
Those would probably be so expensive. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we have these limited edition set of pins that we're going to be giving out. We're invited into this trial of a new feature of Patreon, and we're this is what we're doing with it. So at the $10 level by September 30th, when they roll over the new billing cycle, anyone at that level, whether you are already there or you're a new person at that level, you will get this full set of pins. So you will never have to go to another convention that we're at ever again.
You can avoid us completely.
Yes. But if you are at the TFCon Chicago and you would prefer getting those in person rather than us having to mail them, we're happy to do that.
That's awesome. Daryl?
We are currently running a contest. You are correct, sir.
What is the name of this supposed contest?
Well, sir, you named it. It is called the You Don't Have to Go to Walmart contest. It's a great name.
It is. It just rolls off the tongue.
It does. This contest is for our Donatrions, and it is for them to win a reissued Starscream, reissued Devastator, or a reissued Bumblebee. These are three different prizes, not one person winning all three, so just to make that clear. And this draw will be held the first show in October, so you need to make sure that you are a Donatrion of Transmissions Podcast by the end of September. You need to make sure you're in, and if you are a Donatrion at the duly appointed level, you will be given two entries into this contest. So if you don't want to go to Walmart, make sure you're into this.
I think everybody doesn't want to go to Walmart.
I had to go to get them.
You made the greatest sacrifice of us all. Thank you for that.
No problem. As long as it's recorded for history.
Right. Now, Jeremy, these are all good things, and we've mentioned a lot of stuff, but I understand there's more.
Well, we had a new shirt a few months ago that was designed by the aforementioned Editor Mike that is... I've called it Tape Man. It resembles Soundwave in a completely non-IP infringing way. And it was popular. We've had a number of people buy it. They like it. But it's
because they can't tell the difference between the shirt and Soundwave, I might add.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But It's starting to get colder. And thus I have put it on some long sleeve shirts, some sweatshirts, and some hoodies. So if you like the design, yet you want to continue to wear it in winter, you have other options. And we also have a new shirt that I designed that's kind of resembles, you know, shirts that colleges would put out. But this one has Transmissions Podcast and like Established 2013. And in the middle, you have what kind of resembles a rub sign in a non-IP infringing way.
This is a fucking sick looking shirt.
Yeah. But all of these are available. One quick update. Unfortunately, since we recorded this, Spreadshirt actually decided that they thought it was IP infringing and took the design down. So we're looking at alternatives and seeing what we can do. But unfortunately, no new design for now. Sorry. I updated some of the, like, the mugs and stuff as well. And I think I even put a trucker hat, which trying to get you to wear something with our logo, but you're like, no, I'm not wearing a trucker hat. So
right.
Back to the drawing board on that. But
you're learning. It's slow, but you're learning.
But you know, I'm trying to come up with all sorts of stuff. But just check our store on our website. This is done through Spreadshirt, so you order it, and I think it ships within a matter of days.
And we have a special super secret link for just the donators, right?
Yes. If you go on Patreon, there's a post, and I believe also in our Donatrion's chat in Discord, there's a pinned message for a direct link to the store where essentially we cut out all the commission on that. So you're getting about a 20% discount if you're a Donatrion and you order through that link. So we think you guys give us enough money, so that's a benefit.
It's something to keep in mind, I think, is that it's starting to get colder, right, Jeremy?
Especially where we live.
Right. And it's only going to get worse until Christmas. And these things make great Christmas gifts, don't you think?
Oh, I think they do.
Yeah. I think even non-Transformers fans would like... Basically, a shirt fits people. So you can buy our shirts for people, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Your Christmas shopping's practically done, everybody. You're welcome. From Transmissions to you.
Yeah, I think they also have like one of the designs you can choose is like a neckerchief thing for dogs. I might put the logo on there because so it's not even just people. You can buy stuff for animals.
Wow. We really will be your one stop shop this holiday season. You know, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas. Think of us. We're thinking of you.
Family Day.
Right.
Whatever it is that Canada has.
We have that. Yeah. It's in February.
It's called Box Up Day, right?
That's in December. That's okay. Boxing Day. Family Day is an actual day. It's in February.
Huh.
So it's another day off.
A country that respects family togetherness. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy to think about that.
But like I said in Trips to the Store this week, you got to wear a shirt, so why not make it ours?
Shut up, Daryl.
Daryl, look at us. We have to wear shirts. Yeah, maybe if one of us looked like The Rock, that'd be different. But.
Charles is headed that way.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Jeremy and Daryl, and let's move on to comics news. Jeremy, you were talking about this earlier. Why don't you educate me on it?
All right. We have some friends that contacted us last year about this Britformers comic that they're doing. They launched it at TF Nation this year, and they have a Kickstarter going. And essentially, the conceit with the story is it's set in the 60s in London, and some transforming robots, again, this is also non-IP infringing, they're marooned in London, and they're trying to survive. So like I said, they launched it at TF Nation this last year in August, and they have issue one as a 24-page comic. You know, no, Yoshi, it's 24 pages.
Uh-huh.
They've finished everything, and they've even done a first print run, and they have this Kickstarter so they can distribute it further. And they have already, with 16 days to go, exceeded their goal. As of right now, they have, the goal was 250 pounds and they had 705, 78 backers. So it's going to happen.
Well done.
But if you want to get in on it with, any of the different goals, they have a level where you can get, a digital PDF version of issue one. Another one, you get the printed version. Another one, you get the printed version and some artwork. You get a number of things. So if you want to get in on this, we'll have the link to the Kickstarter in our show notes. And I think it's fantastic. It's in that TFUK feel, you know, in how the story is, because that's where they're from. Hopefully we'll have a review of the comic in the coming weeks. If we can fit it in amongst the pile of IDW comics we have, but it's always good to see fan projects like this.
And it's worth noting that they have also not only exceeded their Kickstarter goal, but they've exceeded all of their stretch goals. So you're getting bonus shit with this. Ever been curious about Kickstarter or trying it or interested in this? It looks as close to a sure thing as anything I've ever seen. Which is great. This is amazing that they pulled this off. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, it looks like the only stretch goal they have that's not complete is one that's just to reach 150 shares on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But all the monetary ones are blown past.
So that's pretty dope.
So, Yoshi, that is it on the Kickstarter.
All right, and with that, we'll jump over to comics review. So this week we're doing a comics review. We have a backlog of Transformers comics to review for everybody. So Jeremy took it upon himself to make the executive decision owed to him for his 2% share.
Charles is out of the country.
Yeah, Charles is out of the country. To allow the Donatrions to choose what comic we review this week. And since Daryl's not going to do the review, Daryl, do you want to tell everybody what comic we're reviewing this week?
Britformers issue zero.
The fuck are you talking about? You had one job. One.
So you're going to be reviewing that since you obviously had time to do it.
It's 3 pages long. Yeah, sure.
24, Daryl.
Literally a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah, we're going to do Unicron number 3.
Okay. And Jeremy, he means you.
Yes.
All right.
I will mention we had, I believe the last time I looked at it, you know, we had this one by 61% of, it got 61% of the vote. We had 18 people that voted in it. We have many more people on Patreon than that. So I will try to get more advance notice next time. It got away from me. I forgot to do it until like Thursday night. But this week we had Bumblebee movie prequel number 2, the Bumblebee Win If You Dare graphic novel, which came out, Optimus Prime 23 and Unicron 3. So I'm interested to see what the vote will be next week. To this comic, Unicron number 3. This is written by John Barber, art by Alex Milne, colors by Sebastian Ching, letters by Tom B. Long, editor is David Mariette, and publisher is Greg Goldstein. And we have 4 covers, and as I've been doing with these comics, I'm putting the 4 covers in our Discord chat for our live audience to see. The first cover has a Unicron Decimating Cybertron's Forces. This is Alex Milne and Josh Perez on the art and colors. Cover B has a Soundwave, Jetfire, and a number of others. And this is James Reyes and David Garcia Cruz. And this is part of that big connecting piece that they're doing. Retailer Incentive A has Metroplex charging into the heart of Unicron. It's Nick Roach and Josh Bertram. And then Retailer Incentive B has a RC in space with pieces of Unicron in the background. And this is Francesco Francavilla. So, Daryl, out of the four, which one do you prefer?
Add props to Nick Roach's cover. It's really good. But Alex's cover A is just awesome. The eye blasts coming from Unicron are just great. And you see the giant Titan-class figures in the foreground, as well as some combiners. It's just a mammoth image, and the scope of the size that Unicron is being portrayed in is really evident with this image. It's a fantastic image, and I couldn't not pick this cover.
Mm. All right, Yoshi, how about you?
Fuck. I don't know how to answer this. What I like the most about Alex coloring, I mean, that from Unicron's eye beams all the way to the bottom, it's like a wonderful rainbow gradient of green all the way to, let's call it, dark. That to me, but I guess it's not my pick. I look at cover two, fucking what's his name? James Reyes. And I feel like maybe James's and Alex's are kind of suffering from the same thing. Like, it's really busy. It's a really busy cover. Cover three, the Retailer Incentive cover A by Nick Roach. The lines are perfect, but I feel like Josh Bertram destroyed it with the colors. And maybe not on it. Really threw me for a loop. I don't care for that. So I'm giving it to Francisco. I apologize. I can't pronounce his last name. But it's a Retailer Incentive cover B, the RC cover. It's kind of awesome.
What about you, Jeremy?
I think they're all pretty good this week. I will say that cover A, you know, Alex and Josh, that really does kind of convey the theme within this book, where it's basically chaos and everything is going to hell. I mean, this is a hard decision this week, but I think I'm going for Retailer A with the Nick Roach, Josh Bertram. And I mean, I think it's because we've seen similar images before on covers with, like, two characters going at each other like that. But I think just having Unicron just basically dominate like two thirds of the page or the cover and just absolutely dwarfing Metroplex. I think that's, it's a striking image. And I like
it. If that cover had been offered as just a line art variant, I would have chosen it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the story. This is titled Our Finest. Anything or anyone that can fly has been conscripted into the fight against Unicron. The Torchbearers are trying to work out how to get into the fight when Alita One offers to get them to Carcer. Elsewhere, the tankers accuse Trax of helping people flee in the transports, but Flax says that they're not fleeing, they're joining the fight. Chromia, on board the Saber, is reporting in and notes Unicron's transformed state as Metroplex's brain center. Windblade, Optimus, Starscream, and others are trying to come up with a solution for dealing with Unicron. Rom suggests Metroplex transforming, but Windblade notes that he would stand as much of a chance as the rest of them. Starscream suggests using Metroplex's space bridge, but that would only save the people inside him, roughly 30% of the population. But that's a sacrifice Starscream is okay with. Bumblebee and Aileron rush into the room, and B reveals what Omega Supreme showed him. Rom doesn't believe him, as the Soul Star history has them killing the Wraith's homeworld, which differed from what Omega told Bumblebee. RC joins the conversation with her history, confirming that she was on Antilla with Onyx Prime and Omega Supreme as they colonized the planet by destroying the life already there. The scientist on Antilla that created the Unicron device did it in retribution of the attack. On board Carcer, Alita is ordering the fleet to press the attack on Unicron. In shock, Chromia demands to know what she's doing. Alita knows that Unicron is vulnerable. Optimus pierced the surface, but he didn't have what it took to kill the monster. Alita will use Victorion to attack Unicron from the inside. The fleet's getting pounded, though, to proceed with the mission, but Victorion has changed her mind. She won't leave people to die and starts attacking the Decepticon ships herself. Only she attacked Bludgeon's flagship, and he seems pleased with that fact as he introduces her to his own combiner, Monstructor. Speaking to Optimus via communication link, Shockwave fills in everyone on the rest of the history of Antilla. The Maximals helped him find the heart of the Unicron device and dubbed it the Talisman and sent it to Earth. Now it's back and it's poisoned Cybertron's Energon, and it will destroy Unicron. Still without a viable solution, Windblade has had enough. She flies off, but RC thinks she's running away and jumps on. But Windblade isn't running or flying. She has a plan if there's enough time. On Carcer, Alita is a lone survivor as the Titan is blasted from the Decepticon fleet. After her battle with Monstructor, the Torchbearers can no longer feel Stormclash after she was ripped from the Combiner. Alita prepares ramming speed with Carcer, but as she nears Unicron, he opens up with his eye and blasts Carcer to pieces. On Cybertron, Soundwave brings the Enigma of Combination to Starscream, thinking it would help. Creating a combiner out of ever close to Unicron's size, however. Not seeing any other option, Soundwave sends out a signal to all of the Decepticons, informing them of Starscream's plan to leave them and Space Bridge to Earth. A mob suddenly rushes past the barriers, keeping them out of Metroplex. And at the same time, RC is running in with news of Windblade's plan. Starscream, knowing that he has a debt to pay Windblade for believing in him, finally agrees that they'll stay. To be continued. So this was basically a nonstop action issue from start to finish. And I enjoyed a lot of it. I mean, we're seeing like loose ends get tied up and like Alita 1 story is now done. Torchbearer story is now done. This links it with the Talisman. I mean, we're seeing Hilla stuff I found interesting. The biggest issue I had with this was, I think, Soundwave coming in with the Enigma of Combination. Just, I don't know. He just seemed out of character in this. Like, why would he come to Starscream? But other than that, I liked it. The art was amazing. And after this is all done, I don't know if Alex is going to want to draw another ship because he seems to have drawn a million ships in this one issue. But it's just every page, so much stuff was happening. Like the Nemesis, which is that eyeball ship, merged with Unicron and became his one of his eyes, and that's like the one that blasted Carcer, I believe. And yeah, I mean, this was a really fun issue. So Yoshi, I'll start with you. What do you think of this?
Seemed really out of place. That was odd. That it's that kind of thing that kind of pulls you out of the story for me.
Right.
you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record. At this point, there's so much that they have to cover, so many loose ends they have to tie off, that I'm just, it's hard to make somebody like me give a shit. So I just have to comment on the art, and it's absolutely gorgeous. There's a page here where Bumblebee is talking, and his face is just flawless. Just, oh God, what page was that on? Page.
So 12, the one with RC at the bottom.
No, it's the page with Soundwave.
Oh.
Underneath the panel underneath Starscream. Like, I just, there's something about the way his face is made there and the way he got colored. It just, it looks awesome.
Some of these, particularly the those last pages where like the panels were kind of getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they were framed, it was really good.
Like no, definitely those small panels are showing a sense of urgency and how dire the situation really is for everybody. And that's not lost on me. It's just really hard for me to give a shit right now.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, after the book we reviewed last week, this is a nice change. What were your thoughts on this?
I really enjoyed this one. That's no surprise, I guess, but I made a couple kind of pointed observations. Last week we reviewed Lost Light 23, and in it there was a comment that I made about one of the battles going on outside of the giant Primus, where it looked like it didn't look quite right. But then you get the battle in this issue drawn by Alex, and Alex puts you in the middle of the battle. You know, he didn't draw you, you know, 2 or 3 miles away, you know, mm-hmm. looking at it as an observer. He puts you on a ship, you know, in the middle of the damn battle. And that's the kind of art that I really appreciate about Alex's style.
And I love just some of the little details, like on the page where Carcer, I believe, is about to, where Victorian is joining the fight. You see, like, the busted up ships that are just kind of floating there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that didn't have to be in there, but that it adds so much to,
yeah,
you know, the, getting you immersed in there.
The panel just above where Victorian, you know, enters the fray, there's the image of the back of a ship,
mm-hmm.
right? On the right side of that panel is someone's top of their torso, right? Just floating there. You know,
yeah.
The panel above that, Alex puts you inside one of the ships as it's being destroyed with the Technobot. You see Scattershot and one of the other guys. Can't tell who it is.
I think you see both of the clones in there.
Okay. They're trying to you know, use the shields or something. They're just trying to get through this. And at the end of that panel, the ship is just destroyed.
I think that the body parts you were seeing in the next panel are the clones.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the heads match.
Cool. I love that. You're in the battle, and that's fantastic. The fact that one thing that kind of threw me, though, is when I was reading this, right away, I did not recognize Monstructor. So I had to kind of think, like, is that Monstructor? He's a little sharper and edgier than I remember him. So I kind of wondered whether he was infected with Wraith or something like that. But yeah, I mean,
it's obvious whatever transformed all those Decepticons affected him too.
Right. So yeah, I like the art, you know, this has been fantastic. The story's, you know, a very quick story, even though there's a lot of exposition to get through in this book. Maybe not as much as what gets put in, you know, Lost Light or anything like that, but there's a lot of story beats in here. You get a big info dump from Shockwave. And it was all, it was decent enough to get through the, book, but I read with, through the art, you know, and then I get the words afterwards. Right. So it's a different style of, you know, for me to most people. I agree that that Soundwave acted a little weird, but it wasn't enough to pull me out of the story. I thought it was odd that that Soundwave could send a signal to just the Decepticons.
That's perhaps like one special ability. Radio is his thing. Well, he can do that.
Yeah, and it's been established that he he has abilities like that. So I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Being a Decepticon, he knows whatever frequencies they're on.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's just, you know, I figured it that after the, you know, the war ended, they kind of just kiboshed all the special frequencies and stuff, but I guess it's still there. I like seeing Optimus Prime all beat the shit, you know. By the end of this, I expect he'll be dead, but characters running around missing an arm, that kind of thing, because they can function with one arm, or you know, that kind of stuff is something that I expect. This book, this miniseries, is going to be a war of attrition on the characters that survive to the end. And I expect to see that. I don't want to see characters at the end look brand spanking new. This is something that, they should look like, you know, they've been to hell and back. An Optimus is definitely looking like that right now. That last full page spread of Unicron in robot mode, just kind of gripping Cybertron.
That needs to be a poster or a con print or something. Drop the fucking heads at the bottom, but that needs to be, that is.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, that right there. I mean, I can't tell you how many people, you know, when I was in DC, like how many people who listen to the show come up to me and goes, you know, I love your show. I love all this stuff, but I want more bad guys being bad. Like this would sell like a motherfucker. Like that needs to be a thing. Alex, I know you're listening. You need to do yourself a favor and make sure you have this as a print. I mean, that's fucking gorgeous. I mean, that should have been the promotional image. I'm sure it wasn't done when all this stuff was going out, but that is fucking epic.
Yeah, it's very good.
And the coloring on it too. Really good. I love, you know, and I love that, you know, the line art on this would be fucking spectacular too, because he's gone through the effort to make sure he's put the line shadow lines. Like you can see him really well on Unicron's forehead. Like line art of this printed would be fucking gorgeous alone, but the colors are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they add so much, like where the fingers are digging through Cybertron. Yeah. You're seeing the more like molten colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's this needs to be out there more than just on this one page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's really, this book is filled with amazing art.
Yeah.
And I expect nothing less from Alex. He, you know, he does amazing work. Mm-hmm. And this, you're right, Jeremy, this is my kind of book. You know, it's a quick read. There was some really cool exposition at the beginning about the Omega Sentinels and Omega Supreme. I enjoyed that. That was neat. Where they really kind of ended up doing a bad thing at the start, and they were just following orders. But yeah, it's a cool story. Definitely recommended.
Cool. Well, it's not over. There's a backup story here that I wanted to cover too. These Unicron issues are kind of wrapping up the entire Hasbroverse. And this time we're looking in on the Mask team. And this is titled Reunion. And
who wrote it?
Brandon Easton wrote it.
Nice.
The art is by Juan Samu. Colors by David Garcia Cruz. Letter by Curtis Fandango. And edited by David Mariette. And I believe this is the first Curtis Fandango book we've had to do.
Well, that makes it canon.
Yeah. So, I like this. I believe this is most of, if not all of, the creative team that worked on Mask. And I like that they're bringing those teams back on. And this is taking place, I believe the Mask team had broken up. But they're facing some gravitational instability from some disturbance in space, which, you know, it's Unicron.
He is a tubby bitch.
And, I mean, obviously this is taking place a little bit later than Unicron number 3 because they're on Earth. But the former Mask teammates are teaming up one last time as they try to save people affected by some gas lines rupturing. They get the survivors to a makeshift hospital. And they're reunited with Julio Lopez, codenamed Gulliver, who was another former member of their team. And Julio tells them how many first responders have been inspired by the Mask team and also introduces them to a young boy that said that he was just waiting on Mask to rescue him. And the team is shocked and surprised at the reactions and positive impact that they've made. And they can't do much more because of the limited power that's left in their helmet. But Eclipse is able to use his to project about 10 minutes worth of memories from their adventures on the wall for the patients in the hospital. And I thought this was just a sweet little story, kind of, you know, wrapping it up. You know, they don't have the powers to do a lot of stuff, but they jump in and try to help people. And, you know, I just thought it was a nice little story. And I'm happy to finally be able to review a Curtis Fandango book. So, I mean, do you guys read this story?
Yeah.
No, of course I didn't read it, but I will say this. I have a lot of respect for Brandon and most of the team back. I think, you know, and for not being there from the beginning, Curtis Fandango did a fantastic job.
That should not
go overlooked. I mean, words written on a page by Brandon at a word processor are one thing, you know, pencils and inks and colors are another, but unless those words are displayed properly, that book would have no heart and soul, and Fandango delivered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and if people don't get the joke, look up the Twitter account, Comic Book Nobody. You'll see what I mean. And anyway, that is it. The last part of the book, they talked with they talked with James Roberts and Andrew Griffith about their basically the phase 2 reboot and their experiences working on the books. And that is it. So this was a fun book, and we will see what our Donatrions pick for us to review next time. So that is the comic review. And
thank you very much, Jeremy. And with that, we'll move on to Transformers Media News. Well, if Daryl has done his proper throat exercises, maybe he can get us through this.
So we've got a few things in media news this week. A lot of it has to do with Bumblebee the movie. It's like that's coming up or something. We've got some Bumblebee the movie licensed costumes. So if you're looking for costumes for Halloween for your little ones, there are two costumes for Bumblebee and a costume for Optimus, obviously.
You know, I just want my kid to go trick-or-treating and have this, like, plastic blade. Like, yeah. Just pointing at the guy, like, give me some candy now.
Well, we've got a Bumblebee the movie online mini game Music Mix is now available to play. it's some kind of game where you can mix game or mix music together. Songs, I guess. I don't know. It gets you get to try it out, and we haven't seen it yet. There's no real description on it here, so give it a try.
It's a mini game on Hasbro's website.
Fun.
So
if you're looking forward to the Transformers trading card game, the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts are live. So go ahead and follow those if you're interested.
Jesus, I gave them shit because like the first couple of tweets were just check out this on Facebook, check out this on Facebook. And I went back and I said, I'm following you on Twitter, so I don't have to use Facebook. And they said, fair enough. And then they started posting all this shit on Twitter.
Awesome. You're doing good work.
I try.
There you go.
I had to get that off my chest.
We've got Transformers. The movie props are now on display at BFI IMAX in England. So if you're in the UK and you're near this museum of sorts, I think it's a museum.
I think it's a movie theater.
Oh, is it?
Well, it's IMAX.
IMAX, I guess, yeah. BFI IMAX.
It's England, so it's a cinema. It's not a theater.
It's in Waterloo, UK. It'll be on display from the 6th until the 20th of September. And it includes Transformers 2007 movie and Revenge of the Fallen. They have a complete Frenzy and a Scorponok head, as well as an Alice's bust. Ooh, Alice's bust.
Slow down, Tiger.
Oh, it's the robot version. Damn. Yeah, so check that out if you're interested in that. Transformers Cyberverse is getting some more information. Apparently, episode 3 is now available on the Hasbro YouTube channel, which is great. So I haven't seen that. I'm going to check that out myself once I get an opportunity. And season 1 has titles and air dates for episodes 6 to 8 for Canada. So episode 6 will be called Megatron is My Hero. 7 is called Cube, and 8 is called Terminal Velocity. And in Canada, they will air on September 30th, October 7th, and also October 7th. So I guess we're getting 2 on the same day here. Fantastic. And that's it for media news.
All right. And with that, we'll hop on over to convention news.
TFCon has announced their dates for TFCon Toronto 2019. It's July 12th through the 14th, and is same place, Hilton Meadowvale, Mississauga, and more information will be coming as we get closer. Transformers Bumblebee is going to have a movie promo at Con. This is going to have a special booth that is inside a shipping container that will be carried to the location by Optimus Prime himself, or a truck that is painted to look like Optimus Prime. The container is going to showcase a yellow VW Beetle, some new toys and merchandise from the movies, and Comic-Con Africa actually is over today. So if we have any listeners in Africa, please let us know how it was. I think that's a pretty neat idea, though. Just like having a shipping container be your booth, and you know, just essentially having it out in the parking lot.
Yeah,
I just like the idea of all this other stuff going on outside of North America. You know,
yeah,
give other countries something to do too. You know.
I mean, it seems like the marketing push on this is pretty significant. It's almost as if the last movie didn't do so good.
More and more movies are premiering outside the U.S. first. I mean, is it really that it's being marketed better, or is it just we keep forgetting that fact?
Or maybe they've been doing stuff like this all along and we're just now getting news about it.
Possible.
But also the explosion of comic conventions worldwide.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Hasbro is going to host a Transformers and Bumblebee panel at Paris Comic Con 2018. This will be October 26th through October 28th at the Grand Hall de la Villette, Paris. And I'm sure I butchered that.
And that's going to take away a lot of people from TFCon Chicago.
Well, this will explain why they aren't at TFCon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to have the brand development team is going to be there. They're going to talk about the Transformers brand in general and the Bumblebee movie toys for 2019. So I would imagine anything that they don't want to reveal at New York Comic Con is going to be revealed here. So the last thing I just threw in here, because New York Comic Con is coming up October 4th through 7th. I just wanted to point out the Transformers artists that are going to be there. So if you're going to be going and you want to meet some of them, you can look them up. Andrew Griffith, Nick Roach, Corin Howell, and Livio Remondelli are all going to be there. And they're all listed. If you go to the NYCC page for the comic guests, they're all listed there with their booth locations and stuff. So check them out. And I'm sure they will be happy to see Transformers fans. They all do commissions and sell prints and stuff, so check them out. So that is all the commission news this week.
Feedback. So we don't have much for feedback this week, but I'd like to let everybody know, if you'd like to leave us feedback, head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you will be presented with every conceivable way of leaving us a question or feedback or anything you want to talk about, even voicemails. We'd love to hear your sexy voices. So head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. And with that, I think we bring episode 95 to a close. Thank you everybody for listening, and
Charles is back next week.
Charles will be back next week, assuming he leaves Germany for us again.
Leaves his German podcast behind. Yeah.
It's all about strudels and strudel making. You should check it out. It's awesome. Yeah, we'll call that a wrap. Good night, everybody.
Later.
Night.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.